What's the cutoff time?
6.
6, okay. Before I begin, I'd like to embarrass Anutima.
I can leave quickly.
No, I want to embarrass you. You should be here. And Mother Rukmini. Since he embarrassed me. Right before the embarrassing standing ovation was a letter that was read to the entire GBC, 2-page letter, honoring and glorifying and appreciating Anutima and Rukmini for their wonderful service that they've rendered to ISKCON society for generations, decades and decades of service. I was thinking as I came in, I would like to be able to read that letter to all of you and further embarrass Anutima and Rukmini, but I didn't remember it, so I can't go that far to embarrass them that way or honor them that way. But the devotees in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness and our GBC members and our executive committee greatly honor both of these wonderful Vaishnavas as you get the opportunity to regularly honor them here and see their amazing service. And sometimes you don't because Anutima is traveling. But I'll share this with Anutima. One of the persons that attended the leadership seminar, I wanted to share this with you, so I'll do it publicly. In Mayapur, they said, I've been a temple president for X number of years, and this was really an eye-opener. If only I had had this kind of training, and if our devotees in general had this kind of training that Anutima presented in the seminar, we would have a very different society, and I would have been a very different president. And I learned so much, and I really plan to apply what I've learned. I said, write to Anutima, let him know, you know, so because those that are teachers don't always get an apple at the beginning or the end of the class from the student. So you're all very fortunate that you have Anutima's association here. And Rukmini's association. And it wasn't that I joined in New York, I joined in Boston. When I joined in Boston, Rukmini was there serving the deities, and when I went to New York shortly after, Rukmini was there serving Radha Govinda. So my appreciation from a distance, I was a little brahmachari and she was a big pujari, so I was always from a distance, but very much appreciating Rukmini's qualities and her amazing service. I won't embarrass her further. But thank you, Rukmini, for all of your service. So this is a very wonderful time of the year. Besides it's spring, it's the time for celebrating the appearance of Lord Ramachandra. A question that I have been asked in the Swami circuit is why the Hari Rama, Hari Krishnas just talk about Krishna? Because it's Hari Rama, Hari Krishna, isn't it? And even if it's Hari Krishna, Hari Rama, it's like 50% Rama. How come it's so much Krishna and not enough Rama? So my answer is, come join us at Ram Nomi, and it's Rama, Rama. So I'll speak about Rama, Rama. Lord Ramachandra ki jai. I'll begin with where Shukadeva Goswami begins, and similarly where Srila Prabhupada begins. When in the unfolding of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the narration of Krishna's pastimes comes in the 10th canto. But of course, the pastimes of Krishna are told in the first canto, and the second canto, and the third canto. But exclusive dedication to Krishna's pastimes in the 10th canto. And similarly, in the 9th canto, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra are described. Thank you. And when Shukadeva Goswami speaks about, or his preamble to Maharaj Parikshit, in describing the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, he does two things which I want to spend some time, because yad yad acharati shreshtas, we follow the path of the perfected and great souls. So he first speaks about Ramachandra's position as part of the Chatur Vyuha. What's that? Chatur Vyuha. Chatur Vyuha are the, Prabhupada would sometimes use the British, I guess it's military term, aides de camp. They're like, you know, there's the general, and then he has his aides de camp. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, is the source of all incarnations. And amongst them, the so many incarnations, there are Lila avatars. Ramadi Murcha Shukala Niyamena Tishtan. Nana avataram akarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu. Krishna Swayam Samabhavak. Paramak Pumanyo. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. In the language of Sri Brahma Samhita, Ramadi, beginning with Rama, so many avatars, amongst them so famous as Rama, but these are direct expansions. In fact, the term is used Kala. And Kala has special connotation. It's like Balaram is a plenary expansion of Krishna. Plenary expansion means Balaram is no different than Krishna, except that Balaram, their color. Krishna is black as Shyam, and Balaram is whitish, like snow, or not the snow, because we get soot and all kinds. So milk, white like milk. And there are expansions of those expansions. And those expansions of those expansions are called Kala. So from Krishna, Balaram expands. And from Balaram, the first Sankarshan. And from Sankarshan, Pradumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva. And this is called the aides de camp. And then in the Vaikuntha realm, there are also Sankarshan, Pradumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva. Those same four, Chatur, Vyuha, they appear in the forms of Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. They're none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead who descends into this realm. That's the meaning of avatar, different than the new movie. Avatar means one who descends from the spiritual world to this realm to perform something on behalf of, or to display the opulences of the spiritual world, the loving relationships of the spiritual world, the form of the Lord so he can attract others to return to the spiritual world. He performs wonderful pastimes to attract their hearts, to enliven the devotees, and to attract the non-devotees to come to that position. Once again, returning to the spiritual world. So Prabhupada spent some time discussing. Ram is not a mortal. Ram is not a jiva. Although part of the beauty and attractiveness of Ram's Leela is that, just like on the five paintings here and the five paintings here, this is the Das Avatars. And there's a half man, half lion, there's a boar, there's a tortoise, there's a fish. Very unique forms of the Lord. But amongst the forms of the Lord, Ram is particularly human-like. And so people can readily identify with this human-like form of the Lord. Very relatable. And so charming are his pastimes, not only because he's teaching virtue, but he seems to go through things like we go through, only it's like excellent, super excellent, how he marries Sita by breaking a bow that takes 300 warriors, strong men, just to pull on a cart. And Ram picks it up like a piece of straw, like an elephant taking a sugar cane in his trunk, and not only strung the bow, but snapped the bow. Wow. Powerful. Ram. Then gaining the hand of Sita. So, we might get married, but it's not like that. And so many other wonderful parts of Ram's Leela that are seemingly human-like. But at the very beginning, Shukadeva Goswami makes sure that his audience, Maharaj Parikshit plus all the other sages in the audience, very clearly understand Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so are his other associates, his brothers. They are plenary expansions or portions of their Vishnu Tattva forms. That's the first thing. Because we'll say some other things that will be necessary to make that reference. Next, Shukadeva Goswami says that you have heard many different versions of Ramayana. In Prabhupada's comment, you have already heard about the activities of Lord Ramachandra, indicating even at the time of Shukadeva Goswami, there were many, many, many versions of Ramayana. And how long ago was that? 5,000 years ago. And since then, have scholars written other versions of Ramayana? Yes, many. Many, many. And you know what yuga it is? It's Kali Yuga. So what are those versions of Ramayana going to have as far as authenticity? Something that Anuttama Prabhu is aware of, that in our GBC, I was sharing this weekend also, that one of the things that's of concern from the perspective of the GBC, is that the teachings of Srila Prabhupada over a period of time do not change. We don't want to see this means that, and that means something else, and something else becomes something so obscure you don't even know what the original thing was. So how to maintain the integrity of Prabhupada's teachings, which is the same if you carefully study the writings of our acharyas, you'll find there is absolute fidelity, hi-fi, between the teachings of our acharyas and Srila Prabhupada, how to ensure the integrity. So Prabhupada comments, there were many versions of Ramayana, and essentially Shukadeva Goswami says, I'm not even going to speak of those other ones. I'm only going to speak the authorized ones. That was 5,000 years ago. So, my dear devotees, be very selective when you hear Ram Katha or Krishna Katha. Now, maybe it doesn't happen in this congregation. You're all nice devotees. But some places it happens, so I'll say it because Prabhupada says it. Be sure that when you're hearing Ram Leela or Ram Katha or Krishna Katha, that it's in disciplic succession. Please. Because I won't get like too specific about it, but there's a video series that's going around, Mahabharat video, you know, the movie, Ram Sagar series, that tells things that are not according to disciplic succession. And then people get bewildered because that's the version they've, since childhood, they were little kids and they watched. I'll give one little example. In the video, the movie, it shows Maharaj Parikshit confronting the personality of Kali. Maybe some of you have seen this. And the personality of Kali, being very clever, he doesn't want to lose his life, so he surrenders to Maharaj Parikshit and says, "You're the king, I'm taking shelter of you, please give me a place to live." And the king says, "Okay, where there's sinful activity, you can live there." He says, "That's, you haven't given me anything because there's no sinful activity in your kingdom." "All right then, where there is hoarding of gold, there will be sinful activity, you can live there." And what happens in the video? By very super good technology, Maharaj Parikshit's crown, which is gold, has the personality of Kali go zoom. Right? You've seen? I saw it, my jaw hit the floor. I said, "What?" That means Maharaj Parikshit became influenced by Kali. And then the next scene you see is Maharaj Parikshit, influenced by Kali, offends the sage because he was influenced by Kali. Well, excuse me, but nonsense. And you don't even have to excuse me, it's nonsense. Maharaj Parikshit isn't influenced by the personality of Kali. He's a pure devotee. Even before he was born, he was so dear to Krishna. Krishna came and personally protected him from the Sudarshan Chakra. No, excuse me, with the Sudarshan Chakra from the Brahmastra of Ashvatthama, etc. Maharaj Parikshit's not influenced by the personality of Kali. Rubbish. But if you're not careful, then, you know, I've heard it many times. How come Maharaj Parikshit was influenced by the personality of Kali? Because he's a pure devotee. The answer was he wasn't. You just watched that stupid movie. He's not. He, like Arjuna, was put in a position by the personality of Godhead in order to do some service for him. So Arjuna could receive Bhagavad Gita, so that we could receive Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada's example is the mother sometimes not wanting to instruct or disturb the mind of the daughter-in-law. The mother instructs the daughter in the presence of the daughter-in-law. So the daughter-in-law goes, "That's what my mother-in-law wants from me." Without any issue between the two. Now Krishna is instructing Arjuna so that he can instruct us. It's for us. So Arjuna's taking the position. "I don't know what is my duty. What should I do? I'm attached to the body. What should I do?" The Krishna instructs us because we're attached to our bodies and we don't know what to do. Like that, Maharaj Parikshit. So, you get the point. One has to be very careful, where one hears Ram Katha. So, Prabhupada specifically recommended Valmiki, Ramayana. And of course, there are different versions of Valmiki Ramayana. Too many. Be very careful, my dear devotees, be very careful where you hear. Because you might get some, you know, infection in your ear from hearing the wrong place. And then it goes through a system and next thing you know, you're in the hospital. So, Now I want to speak something about the divinity of Ram, where there are apparent mistakes. We were discussing this morning, it's partly what inspired me to speak about this, that in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava is speaking about Krishna. Of course he's going to speak about Krishna because he's steeped in transcendental love for Krishna. And he's speaking to Vidura about Krishna because Vidura has asked about Krishna. When he's speaking about Krishna, once he starts speaking about Krishna, it's three chapters long. He can't stop. He's like diving into the ocean and you lose him. He just keeps going and going and going and ecstasy speaking about Krishna. One of the things he speaks about Krishna is the contradictions in Krishna's pastimes. He who is unborn is born. Okay, that's just the beginning. But not only he's born, but he's the Supreme Personality who is born and then becomes afraid of Kamsa. The all-powerful Supreme Lord becomes afraid of someone. What's that? And so he asks his father, please take me on the other side of the river. So I'll live incognito. I'll be like hiding out so I won't get discovered. But of course Kamsa knows that he's hiding out and he sends demons to get him. Then he goes back to Mathura. And when he's in Mathura, Kalyavana and Jarasandha combine to try to bring all of their armies and fight against Krishna. And what does Krishna do? He runs from the battlefield. Ranchor. With Kalyavana chasing him. And of course he outruns Kalyavana, and Kalyavana chases him into a cave and Muchukunda cinders him. Finished, Kalyavana. But the powerful Lord is running from him. Then he goes up on a mountain with Jarasandha chasing him. And he jumps off the mountain and goes to Dwarka. What's going on? So, you know, it's a contradiction. What Uddhava says is it gives me great pain and distress. And it's pain and distress. For us, it's like, wow, Krishna's wonderful. Just see, he doesn't even have to touch Kalyavana. Kalyavana is finished like that. He gives his devotee, Muchukunda, some service to do. Just like that, finished. And not only that, Muchukunda had never seen Krishna, just like Rukmini had never seen Krishna. But she gave her heart completely to Krishna. And what did Krishna do? He gave himself to her. And Muchukunda, great devotee, but he had never seen Krishna. He only, like us, he only heard about Krishna. But he became an unalloyed devotee of Krishna just from hearing. So when Krishna was in the cave, he didn't recognize him because he had never seen him. And gradually, the curtain of Yogamaya was withdrawn, and then he could understand. This is my worshipable Lord who's here in the cave. And he offered beautiful prayers to Krishna. Krishna accepted his prayers and fulfilled, satisfied completely the heart's desire of Muchukunda. So Krishna is so wonderful. But the lamentation, the pain of Uddhava was that ordinary people don't see that. They think Krishna is a coward, Krishna is a thief, Krishna is a this, Krishna is a that. And not only they don't understand, but they make offenses. He's pained. It gives him great distress. Because he's such a lover of Krishna. That others would rot in this material world and on top of that make offense. Because Krishna does these inconceivable things. Seemingly contradictory things. So now what about Ram? we're going to give equal time to Ram tonight. So he similarly does things that are seemingly like, you know, human. Like he makes mistakes. If you, those of you that like the writing of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I do. You know, the language is, you know, you need a dictionary when you read his writings, but his writing is so profound. And he discusses this in Sri Brahma Samhita, this very topic. It's called Vibhrama Vilas. What does Vilas mean? It means pastime. And Vibhrama, there's Brahma and Vibhrama. Brahma is one of the defects of the conditioned souls, to make mistakes. What are, there's four defects of conditioned souls. One of them is to make mistake, subject to illusion, cheating propensity. So that there's defects of a conditioned soul that a liberated soul doesn't have. What to speak of God? Doesn't have these defects. But it seems that is a prefix that means very, very mistaken. Pastimes of great mistake. Krishna does, and Ram does. So now we'll share a little Ram does mistakes. Some of you are from India. Some of you are from South India. Some of you are from Andhra Pradesh in South India. So I was once in South India, in Hyderabad, with Srila Prabhupada, when we had a Mayapur festival in Mayapur, and then Prabhupada requested a certain number of devotees, it was 100 or some, 150 of us, to get on a train from Calcutta and go to Hyderabad, because Mr. Reddy, believe it or not, there's a name, Mr. Reddy, in Andhra Pradesh. It's like saying Smith in America or Patel in Gujarat, Mr. Reddy. He donated the land in downtown Hyderabad to build a temple. So Prabhupada had 150 of us go to Hyderabad for a week-long Pandal program. And I was feeling myself very fortunate to take part in that activity with Srila Prabhupada. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. You can read about it in Leelamrita. But a detail that wasn't in the Leelamrita that I personally experienced was in relation to Lord Ram. So each day somebody invited the devotees. We had big Harinam. In the afternoon we had lunch. We would go to somebody's place. So we went to Mr. Reddy's place one day. You know, little out of the city, big property, huge piece of land and nice big house. And so we were all taking prasadam outside the house. Very nice prasadam. And I very quickly took prasadam because I knew that Prabhupada was in the house and I wanted to go in and hear the exchange with Srila Prabhupada and the host. So when I went inside, Prabhupada was in a very large sitting room, you know, big windows all around and, you know, very opulent home. And the Mrs. Reddy and her friends were seated with Prabhupada and some sannyasis were on the floor. So the ladies were asking, particularly Mrs. Reddy was asking, Swamiji, why did Ram make a mistake? Prabhupada said, what mistake? She said, well, he went running after this deer. Isn't, if he's the Supreme Lord, didn't he know that that golden deer was not a golden deer, it was Marich, and it was just a trick to kidnap Sita? Didn't he know? Why did he make that mistake? And Prabhupada would give an answer and she wasn't satisfied, and so Prabhupada gave a slightly different answer but something the same, and she wasn't satisfied and kept asking the same question like five times. And finally Prabhupada said, Ram was teaching that, please don't take offense to this, those of you in spirit souls and female bodies. Prabhupada said, Ram was teaching that if one has association with a woman, even you may be the personality of Godhead, you'll have trouble. And the ladies looked at each other and said, they started giving Prabhupada trouble. But Swamiji, and Swamiji, and Prabhupada chuckled and looked at the sannyasis and nodded his head, and they got it, and the ladies didn't get it. Ram was teaching. He was doing so many things. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can utilize his internal potencies as he likes. And he did. He was creating an episode in his pastimes where he could experience separation from Sita. You know, and Prabhupada said like that. And then she said, yeah, but poor Sita, why did he make this mistake? Because look what Sita had to go through, and he's the personality of Godhead. Why did he do that? It's Leela. And to understand a human making a mistake, that's one thing. We can't say, oh, it's my Leela. I just I left my wife alone, and you know, someone came along and kidnapped her. It's just my Leela. Not like that. Yeah, but Swamiji. So then there's another. I was thinking of this just on the way over. Who was Marich? He was a mystic amongst the Rakshasas. He was a very powerful mystic. And even before Ram was married, when he was with Vishvamitra, he had an encounter with Marich, which Marich later told to Ravan, don't mess with Ram. Let me tell you about the prowess. Although he may look like a young man with his bow and arrow and, you know, like anybody else, a mere mortal, he's not. He hit me with an arrow, which he could have killed me, and I went flying through the air hundreds of miles and landed, crash, and I'm a reach. He's not ordinary. Ravan, don't do this. You'll bring destruction. And so many times Ram got such good advice from Vibhishan, even from Kumbhakarna, so many person, even his wife, the best of his queens, they all advised him, don't do this. But he was overwhelmed with material desire, I mean explicitly, lusty desire, and so proud of his situation he couldn't hear. But back to Ram's apparent mistake. Why did Ram not destroy Marich? Because later on, Marich brought about the situation that allowed Sita to be kidnapped. Why did he make that mistake? So, the way that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur discusses this is it's vibhrama. It's an apparent mistake. It's a pastime of the Lord simply meant to increase the happiness, the joy, the transcendental pleasure of his devotees and himself. Because when the devotees experience transcendental happiness, he experiences transcendental happiness. When they experience their increased attachment for him, he reciprocates. Oh, so he creates situations that may look like he's in difficulty or his devotee is in difficulty. And then when that difficulty situation increases and increases and increases, Ram, Krishna, immediately he takes care of the problem. It's Leela. And this is our worshipable Lord. And to enter into these understandings, one requires the association of one who has heard in disciplic succession, not just somebody who is scholarly, or this means that, or word jugglery and interpretation and mental speculation. Useless, frankly. Useless.
So one should be very careful to properly hear these messages in disciplic succession. There's another I want to mention about different versions of things. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's the situation where Ram wants to go. He knows now where Sita is. Hanuman has found Sita and he's come back with the news. So now comes the problem. How to get to the other side, how to get to Lanka. So there's two versions. One, Ramayan says that he went to a temple of Lord Shiva and he worshipped Lord Shiva. So those of you, there may be some of you here who have been worshippers of Lord Shiva, or in addition to or before becoming worshippers of Krishna. So how do we understand Lord Ram is setting an example? Why is he going to worship a temple of Lord Shiva? Two answers. One, he's setting the example of an ideal king, and an ideal king calls upon the blessings of great personalities, the demigods. He doesn't just act whimsically or capriciously or independently, but he's seeking the blessings of great souls before undertaking some task. But another explanation is just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the course of his travels in South India, he went to many such temples, and the way that he saw, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the role or the mood of a devotee of Krishna. So as a devotee of Krishna, he didn't avoid temples of Lord Shiva, but he saw Lord Shiva as a great devotee. And he had kirtan, glorifying the names of the Lord, appreciating and bringing great happiness to Lord Shiva. There's even description that Shiva and Parvati came incognito to receive and serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Similarly, in Ramanujacharya's pastimes, Sita and Parvati came to render some service to another great devotee. So we can see in that way. Or when Ram came to the shore of the Indian Ocean, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, Ram was, he fasted for 3 days. Question, why does Ram have to fast? He's the personality of Godhead. He doesn't need to do anything. He's setting the example of an ideal king. He humbles himself before great personalities. Just like we were reading this morning, when Krishna returned to Mathura, he had not seen his mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki, for 12.5 years. And he and Balaram came before them with folded palms. He is the personality of Godhead. My dear mother, my dear father, please excuse us for not properly serving you for all these years. He's the personality of Godhead. He has no mother and father. He's the mother and father of all. But he's performing this leela to show respect to one's mother and father. So similarly, Ram's fasting for 3 days. And the personified ocean, or Samudra, he's not responding. So what did Ram do? According to Srimad Bhagavatam, his eyes became red hot like copper balls, and with his intense glancing upon the ocean, he boiled the ocean. Now there's another version of Ramayana that says he took one arrow and shot the arrow and the ocean began to boil. But Ram doesn't need arrows. Ram just glances. That's the version of Shukadeva Goswami from the authentic presentation. But, so we're accepting the of if there's any discrepancy in any form of scripture, we accept Srimad Bhagavatam as the final authority, the Amala Pramana, the spotless authority upon which we accept anything to do with spiritual knowledge. So, Wednesday is Ram Navami. Countdown has started. The rest of today, when you go home, maybe you have Ramayana in your home, maybe you have Srimad Bhagavatam in your home, you can read from the ninth canto about the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Make sure you're receiving from an authentic source, please. And especially the commentary of the great acharyas. It's so important to receive. Well, I'll share one last thing. I'm looking at the clock. It's 6 o'clock, and I'm going to end. I'll be a good boy. Finish on time. When I was a very new devotee, I'm still trying to become a good devotee, but very, very new devotee, there was a printing press in Boston where I joined, and maybe Rukmini remembers this little episode. The persons that were running the press, Advaita was the person, he asked Srila Prabhupada, is it okay to print a Bhagavad Gita that's just the verses? Now they've done this, but at that time, Advaita asked Prabhupada, is it okay to just print it so you can put it in your pocket, little pocket version, you can carry it with you and refer to the verses and memorize the verses. And Prabhupada told him no. And the reason he gave is, there's so many translations of Bhagavad Gita, and the difference of the Bhagavad Gita is not so much in the verses, but it's the commentary. The commentary says, this means that. Or, don't surrender to Krishna, surrender to something else. The unborn within Krishna, or something, anything else but surrender to Krishna. Don't think of Krishna, think of something else. And without the commentary, we won't be able to understand. So, when you read Ramayana, between now and Ram Navami, read the Bhaktivedanta purports, and you'll find them very wonderful. Or commentary by our Vaishnava Acharyas, and then that will illuminate the messages. The messages in themselves are very wonderful, but the full illumination will come so that we can appreciate why the Supreme Lord is acting or performing pastimes the way that he is performing. I could go on with this, but the clock is still going on too, so I have to stop. But I'll be with you on Ram Navami morning, those of you that are here for the morning program, then I'm going back to New York for the evening on Ram Navami day. Thank you very much. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.